Hey, this is Danny Heifetz from the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. For all your fantasy football needs, check out the Ringer Fantasy Football Show with me, Craig Horlbeck, and Danny Kelly. That's the Ringer Fantasy Football Show on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, take two. It's always a good start to a show when you realize like it's gone off the rails in the first couple minutes and you have to redo the show.
It's rare I ask to redo it too. Normally I'm like, okay, just leave the car on fire, let people watch it burn.
Yeah, but
no, not today.
I think today it's for the best.
I'm not trying to have a more stressful week than we need to have.
I appreciate that. I'm all about that. Did you have a nice weekend overall?
I can't go back to that now. We should get right into the topics. Nope.
Did you watch any good movies? Any TV shows? Any good football?
Started watching Blockbuster on, I don't know what it's on.
Oh, you actually were watching that with your wife.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. She seemed to enjoy that show, it.
That show should be shut down just like Blockbuster was. So bad.
The newest TV show, Blockbuster, straight from the late 90s. No, thank you. I don't know how you guys are. I thought that show's already canceled.
It might be. It's on Netflix. I don't know if it's like happening still.
Okay.
No.
It happened terrible. To you is what I'm hearing. You did not enjoy that show. That's fine.
It's hard for me to watch comedies. Most of these are not funny.
What is your favorite comedy movie? I don't know if we've ever really talked about that. Because you have
me
your favorite.
Me and Hannah brought this up. I actually brought this up because I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about their top comedies of all time.
Uh-huh.
And all of mine are from when I was much younger. And they're all like terrible movies. So,
nothing.
I literally can't mention it. There's not a single one that's appropriate that I can now mention as a father of a child who might hear this one day.
Okay.
I don't think there was a single clean one.
Like Tommy Boy. Like that was a.
Actually, you know what? That's fair. So I go against the flow here.
Yeah.
I am in this instance a black sheep. I think Black Sheep was better than Tommy Boy.
You thought a Black Sheep? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. So I like Black Sheep. That's actually an appropriate one.
Okay.
My favorite Sandler movie of all time, and I also happen to think it's one of the funniest. You know what that is? You're not going to get it. I bet you it's not even in your top three.
Billy Madison would probably be my favorite, and then Happy Gilmore.
If you had to guess what my favorite is, though.
Your favorite?
Yep.
Ever.
You might get it. I don't know.
Actually, I have no idea. I'm going to go out. Airheads. That's my guess.
What? I don't even know what that is. That's a Billy Madison movie? I mean,
it's an Adam Sandler. He's not the star. He's like a co-star with Brendan Fraser.
Next.
I'm trying to go way off.
Okay.
Board.
Well, you were.
Yeah. I don't know what you would be if it's not Happy Gilmore.
Mainstream. It is a mainstream
Waterboy.
No.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Waterboy, one of the few I don't like.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's one
Billy
of my
favorites. Billy Madison's a top three, top five for me, sure.
Okay. And another Adam Sandler movie from the 90s, though.
From his Hot Streak.
Hot
None
Streak.
Of this crap.
Oh, man. Carlos, what am I not thinking of? Are you thinking of something that I have not mentioned?
I mean, you're missing some big boys here.
I mean, there's Little Nicky.
Not a Little Nicky fan.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Carlos, you notice? Well, Carlos is, are you 12 years younger than us?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm very, like, your guys are talking about from a different, like, generation, so I just don't know.
Yeah, that's sad.
That is kind of sad. It's upsetting a little bit. 51st Day. Oh, wait, what's another Boston-related Adam Sandler movie? Isn't there,
I'll tell you my other two tops. Mr. Deeds would be number two for me.
Dang it, of How'd course, Mr. Deeds.
And the other one.
Tell me. I can't get it. Oh,
John Stewart is in it.
Oh, Big Daddy.
That's my favorite Sandler movie. I think it's hilarious.
That's a great movie. Yeah, it is really.
I live my life like he lives in that, like Sonny does.
Didn't you just recently watch The Wedding Singer for the first time?
No, no, not for the first time, but I just recently enjoyed it for the first time.
Oh, okay, okay.
Wedding Singer's not bad, but I'm going to give me Big Daddy, Deeds, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Okay, fair enough. Those are all solid films.
But Big Daddy, far and away my favorite.
The fact that you didn't say like Jack and Jill or Blended or something like that.
Oh, I don't believe anything after 1999 of his work. Non-QB buy, sell, hold. Let's give him some sort of substance here.
All right, very first one, Christian McCaffrey. I feel like we have to just name him because he's one of the best non-
I have to pick a buy, sell, hold. Hold. Great, team struggling. If he's dipped enough, you might even buy him. But I'm a buy slash hold because I think the Niners are still great. And I actually think Purdy, they're going to be fine despite the fact that he's played terribly.
Okay, good. I would hope that would have been your answer. All right. How about Tyreek Hill?
I wanted to with Miami. I watched that whole game yesterday in Frankfurt. That's in Germany. It's a country. You've heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Tyreek is awesome. I don't know how far that team's going to go. Although that was a close game. It's just they start off so pathetic. Man, here's the only thing. I almost
got real close in that game.
I almost think you could sell him right now because he's super high because he had a crazy start to the season and then buy him back in 2 months. I think I might sell him right now.
I would encourage you to sell him right now. He is like at an all time. Well, I shouldn't say all time. 6 month high. He's currently selling at like 90 or what is it? $262 for his Prism Silver PSA 10.
As he should. I mean, he's been unbelievable this year. The team is now 6-3. Playing very well, almost came back against the Chiefs yesterday, and he's had a historic start. But at some point, I worry about the quarterback there staying healthy, and they have a fairly difficult second half. So,
Nick Chubb.
Yeah, it was weird you brought him. I wouldn't buy him for. I mean, don't do anything with him for 6 months.
That's why I bought him just because he is out, and it just figured if
that's
he's
the
out,
second time he's done that.
Down.
By the way,
oh, that's a second.
He did in college too. Really? I don't know that he's coming back at all, and he's a running back, so I probably would just. Yikes. I mean, if you have him, there's no sense selling because he's not going to get anything for it. But.
Okay. Jonathan Taylor.
Just came back yesterday. He's probably cheap. I guess my only question would be, where are the Colts? The Colts are 4-5. Gardner Minshew's the QB. Is Taylor putting them over the top at this point? I guess not. So, I don't know why I'd buy him. What's the upside there?
Here's what I'll tell you. He has already seen a bit of a bounce.
From coming back.
Although
I'd sell him right now.
Yeah, I was going to say. If you look
what are the Colts
going to
do? Yeah.
Yeah, unless he just, comes back and he is completely regained all strength and he's a
sell
phenomenal.
Sell to Happy John. He loves Wisconsin.
There you go. Yeah, boom, perfect. Bam. We found a buyer for all you Jonathan Taylor holders. So.
Mark it up quite a bit.
Let's see. Okay, to be fair. This is a QB, but I feel like we should at least mention Joshua Dobbs.
Oh, yeah. We talked about him in the first take. Let me cut all that. Here's the thing. Minnesota might actually be a playoff team. They're 5-4. They're on a pretty good little hot streak right now. They've won 4 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He is a quarterback, which helps, of course. I know his pricing is way up because he was playing good in Arizona to start the year anyways, out of nowhere. Oh, man, what does he do there? I mean, I've seen Kirk Cousins put up really good numbers in Minnesota for years. Do I think Kirk Cousins is that great of a QB? No. Dobbs is not Cousins, but that's a talented offensive team.
Yeah.
I might consider throwing some money at him just to see what happens, but it would be on a short leash. They're not going anywhere this year, but he might give you some highlights where people, and the story's captivating, comes in, has a game-winning drive, despite not taking a snap with the first team. I think there's enough, wow factor there where it's like, look at this unbelievable story. This kid's come out of nowhere from the gutter, hobby hero. I think I might buy him on a short term, short leash type, ready to sell as soon as I can type thing.
Okay. That's fair enough, especially its pricing has gone up, but it looks like there's still room for it. Jamar Chase. Now he has
Where's
seen
his market?
A bit of a drop off. Let's 6 months ago, he did have a couple sales in like the 43, 45. Dollar range for a base PSA 10. Now that has gone up significantly in between now and then. There were times where it was selling for like $80, but as of right now, he's at $35.
I mean, I wouldn't buy the base, but him as in general.
I can give you silver
player,
if you'd like, but it's a similar trajectory.
Yeah, so he's kind of mellowed out. He's lower. He's kind of come down from that high and he's mm-hmm. chilled. Yeah, I mean, in that case, I think I'd probably buy him because I think the Bengals are getting ready to do what we've seen them do the last few years. They're getting ready to go on a run where they're going to win what are there, 9 games left? They're going to go like 8-1. Like, the Bengals are really good. Burrow's clicking. You know, I do. I think that could be another weird year. And I trust him in the playoffs to win a couple games. And Ja'Marr Chase is as good as anybody. If you're telling me he's at kind of a low, yeah, I think he's safe to buy. And I think you'd have time to move him at a nice higher point at some point this year.
Let's go over to AJ Brown.
Oh, he's tough because he's almost like Tyree. It's almost like he's topped out. He's played so unbelievable to start the year. What's he supposed to do?
Yeah.
And he's very similar to the Tua thing. I think there's a ceiling on Jalen. I like Jalen Hurts a lot, but I also feel like they've played really, really well to start. They're 8-1. Is that going to continue? I don't know. I'd almost sell and cash out now.
Well, I mean, like, what? Let's look real quick. What does the schedule look like for the Eagles going forward? So Eagles going forward, you've got, let's see, next week they're going to be playing, Eagles play Chiefs. That's going to be a tough one.
What are we talking? Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they're 8-1. They're not going to finish the season 16-1.
At this point, I did want to stick up more for the Eagles, but they do have Chiefs, Bills, 49ers next 3 games.
Yeah, they could easily lose all 3 of those games.
Yeah.
Tough second half. Yeah, okay. I think you move on.
The fact that they almost lost to the Cowboys, that was a very...
That's a divisional game, though. The Cowboys play them tough. Your boy Dak played pretty well.
Wow. It's
not when it counted. You see how incompetent he's at the end of games. It's amazing. Listen, penalties and stupid throws. It's so tough to watch teams. After being spoiled on Brady for so long, it's so tough to watch guys in a 2-minute offense take multiple delay of game penalties. Makes me want to vomit.
I will say the delay of game was a pain.
But the false starts because you're not set. It's like, what are you doing? Terrible to watch.
Give
up. Rather have Josh Dobbs.
Well, that may be a good thing to have. How about this? CeeDee Lamb.
Where's he at? Like, what's his marker? Is he low?
Give me one sec. I'll tell you. Because I had CeeDee Lamb and I also had Stephon Diggs I wanted to check on.
I don't trust. I think people are cooling on the Bills right now, as they should. Josh Allen's just a little too reckless.
I was going to ask you if you've had an updated take on Josh Allen. I didn't know.
Didn't remember what my old take was.
I mean, I thought you thought he was great.
Like, I mean, he's very good. He's just, you know, he doesn't win big games.
CeeDee Lamb, if we're looking at, say, a silver PSA 10, that card 6 months ago was selling for $125. It has had a spike of $220 and it is currently down to $100.
Oh, so it's lower than where it started.
Yes.
I'd take a look at him. I like CeeDee's really good. The Cowboys are going to have a good regular season. So I think there's time to buy him still.
Okay. All right.
Josh Allen, though. Oh, man. And Allen's pricing so insane anyways.
Yeah.
Like, what's he done?
It is hard to say, like, when we keep running into comparisons of guys pricing where they've already won, say, a Super Bowl or an MVP or something. And then you see either guys who have just had a lot of hype or brand new rookies that have the same pricing, if not higher than them. It's like the pricing's already baked in and it doesn't really make a lot of sense some of that time.
I don't try until I see something different. I don't trust that guy to win big games. And he hasn't won big playoff games yet, really. So okay. Yeah,
I am curious. The Travis Kelce train. We haven't really talked much about him.
I would sell. She's going to dump him soon anyways. as soon as he gets dumped, his pricing is going to dump.
The moment the dump happens, he's out. Okay. Well,
his pricing will get flushed as soon as he's dumped. See what happened there? It's a pun.
Is that a toilet reference?
Bro? Pun.
Nicely done. Over the last 6 months, he started at 122 for his, this is a base PSA 10?
2014?
Prism? 2013.
13, okay.
Yeah, so a base Prism started at 122. It is now selling 180. And I do wonder what of the Swift effect is bringing Swift that pricing up.
Effect. It's a Swifty effect, not a Swift effect.
Yeah.
Swifty.
I don't think it's Swifty.
It's Swifties.
It's at... The Swifties. Hey, Carlos, I just need you real quick.
The Swifties.
There are Swifties, but I don't think it's a Swifty effect. I think it's the
Swifty. You think Taylor's the one buying it? It's a Swifty effect.
Hey, Carlos, can you just weigh in here real quick?
Carlos hates this.
So my initial thought was to agree with you, Jesse, but I think Mike just made a really good argument
Thank
there.
Thank you.
I think he just...
Hey, Carlos,
he inceptioned you, so he said it so many times that he got in your head.
No, I mean, because...
It's a Swifty. Like, that's why things are happening.
I think you made a good point that, like, it's not her doing it. It's her fans. It's the Swifties.
That was good.
I'm just going to go ahead and...
I don't know.
It's like I've always said. Me and Carlos, one line of thought. I like him better than Eddie. I've always said these things. So
you've never said anything to the contrary.
I will tell you another thing about Travis Kelce. I want to address this quickly. If you want to tell me he's like as good as Gronk all time, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But we need to breathe just a little bit. Travis Kelce might be the greatest pass-catching tight end of all time. In terms of actual route running, hands, catching ability, I would give him a slight edge over Gronk. Maybe even a decent edge over Gronk.
Okay.
Let me just say, though, for people who did not really watch and appreciate how good Gronkowski was, the greatest blocking tight end of all time. Like, he was literally throwing defensive ends around when he was playing. Greatest blocking tight end. Blocking as a tight end is a major proponent of the job. So overlooked. Travis Kelce is a very average. So huge advantage to Gronk there. And Gronk running with the ball after the catch, better than any tight end ever. Guy was trucking people every week. Gronk, to me, is still the greatest tight end of all time. Kelce, a close two.
Just to be really clear, I want to talk about Gronk's pricing, and then we'll go over to the return on investment segment real quick. No, you have
Gronk pricing.
I do have Gronk pricing. Gronk pricing is down slightly. So he
started. Why do you have Gronk pricing?
Because I pulled it up as you were talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
2010 rookie.
Yeah, Topps Chrome. 2010 rookie, PSA 10 of that card.
Oh, I have no idea.
6 months ago, selling for $150. He had an odd little spike. I think maybe when there was that rumor of him coming back or something, up to like 255. But then
I don't believe it
has settled and come back down many times. He is now selling again 149. So just a slight he's basically even. Flat.
Oh, which is pretty good considering the market.
I know. I consider flat to be good. Now, the one other thing, Swifty, if you Google the Swifty effect, it has 1.5 million results. And if you Google the Swift effect, it has 230 million. So I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. But it it seems like the math would the math say 230 million for Jesse and 1.5 million for Mike. It just seems like maybe I wasn't wrong. I don't know.
Yet two out of the three people here think you were. So you were.
Well, anyway, return on investment. We talked about this last week and we did a comparison because.
Oh, we can't do it now. We got a guest in 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. It's already been that much
time. It's amazing to me. You friggin' before the show, I was like, Mike, I could tell. I was getting a little prodding. Any research, anything, any little points?
Did I give you a hard time?
Very concerned. Very concerned. Tech Simmons. We're not getting renewed.
To be fair, we also started 10 minutes late.
Very concerned that we weren't going to have enough actual material. It never happens. I've been quiet on purpose because of the time. I could go for another 30 minutes.
We have been recording for 16 minutes.
We have not touched my topic, and we have not touched the ROI thing on Topps Chrome.
I know. And that, you know what? That would have been a perfect 30 minutes.
Do not ever fret again that we're not going to have enough to talk about.
Absolutely.
I could spend 45 minutes breaking down freaking Adam Sandler 90s movies and have it be entertaining enough where people would keep it on.
If we're talking
Adam Sandler. And you're worried about between 12 o'clock and 12:30, between now and when Raffy gets here, we're going to have enough? I don't know.
First off, do you know his name is Raffy? Because he introduced himself as Raphael.
I feel like every Raphael's a Raffy. We'll find out.
Yeah, I don't know if we're getting that one right yet. And also, if we're talking movies, sure, but I'm trying to provide a little value to the people. I mean, Grayson, I would love to talk Adam Sandler all day.
You forgot about Mr. Deeds and Big Daddy.
Because I'm blinded by grown-ups and all the other nonsense he's done since then. Actually, Uncut Gems I've heard was good. I didn't see that. And there's a few other. Did you see Spanglish?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
What's the movie with him and Jack Nicholson?
Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, the great golfer.
That was Anger Management.
I hated that movie.
That was the one actually I was thinking of.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Really?
It frustrates me to no end.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of Anger Management issues in it. You should be able to yell
in public and not be a whole shutdown. Can you imagine if he did that now? He'd get killed.
Oh, don't even get me started on reasons why there'd be mess.
Bring the guest in, Carlos. Let's go. This is a train wreck. Bring him in. I want to know his name. First question.
That brings us to this segment of our guest. We have Raphael Mosley, a.k.a. Prism God, the man behind the Culture Collision Show in Atlanta, Georgia. How the heck are you? Tell us first off, Raphael, is that what you prefer?
Doesn't matter. Raphael, PG, Prism God, Ralphie, doesn't matter. I respond to pretty much all of them.
Okay. Now, notice, Mike, you've called him Raph almost every time you've talked to him.
I'm a nickname
He
guy.
Did not say Raph on any of those.
Doesn't have to be.
So, okay. All right. All right. That's fine.
My mom calls me that, so that way I know she's talking to me. I'm sorry, man.
Wow.
Family.
Fam. Okay. I'm
no strangers in the studio.
Rafael, thank you, man, for joining us. And we know that, you know, we didn't really give you a lot that we wanted to talk about beforehand, but being the guy that's kind of set up the Culture Collision show, tell us a little bit about the show and where it started and where it's gone to at this point.
Wow. It's kind of broad, but I'll just say that, man, it was just kind of an idea. You know, I think that at the end of the day, I recognize it was opportunity to make shows, the show space better. I felt like it was a way to kind of give back to the community. Right. I didn't go into the situation to try to make money. I didn't go into the situation to try to like do anything besides just, you know, be my own creative and just try to come up with some cool ideas and just see if it would work, how it can work and kind of go from there. So, I'm not going to say, you know, I don't really talk to a whole lot of promoters personally, but I would just say that I'm a little bit more ballsy than a lot of people. So I'm willing to take losses, willing to take risk, willing to take chances. And I think you have to, especially when you're trying to change something. So I think for me, when I first started Culture Collision, I mean, it was just an idea. How can I make things better? How can I give back to the community? At the time, my wife was, like I said, she kind of said to me, you're going to either open up a card shop or do a show. And for me, it was like, I'm going to do a show because I felt like it was a lot easier to do in a shop, but I was wrong. So I'll just say that that's how I started. And I think that, you know, it's been very challenging, you know, because one thing is I'm a minority in the space as well. So I'm a minority promoter in the space. I'm probably one of the very few Black people or African-Americans in this space. So I felt like I had a lot of different challenges.
What would you say that your goal is in making your show different than, say, others across the country?
Well, I really want to focus on experience. I think that's for the last couple of years, you could probably kind of attest to the fact that we've been like a really transactional show. I mean, the show space is very transactional. It's very like most like a stock market. I used to call it a thriving stock market. Literally, it's like you go into there, it's like, you know, you hear a bunch of people talking about how much, buy, sell, right? It's very much like a stock market. But that I think it lacked a lot of experience. I think it lacked a lot of different ideas, in my opinion. I mean, you go to a lot of different shows. I don't think you really see it. Just like seems like it's just a black and white canvas. And I think for me, I really want to focus on the color and creativity.
When we went to the show, it wasn't this year. Ago. It was the year before.
That was like one of your first big shows aside from the National that one year.
I think so. I think it was. But I do remember thinking this show is the most like in tune with what I'm about as far as not just cards. Because it wasn't that show was the first card show I think I'd been to where you didn't see a ton of like just old vintage baseball. Like that was what I understood a lot of these card shows to be. But going to yours, like, there were, you know, sneaker setups. There were people selling candles made out of like figurines.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like different right. either shoes or athletes or whatever the case may be.
Bunch of comics.
Yeah, exactly. There were comics everywhere. I thought your show was like a really good melting pot, not just in the overall like attendees, but also in just what was actually being represented at the table.
Like a Culture Collision.
Wait a second. You don't think.
Look at that.
See? Oh my God.
I'm putting it together. Hey, Raffi, I am interested though, because you brought up a good point. Like, I don't know another black show promoter, period. Like, I honestly, and I go to shows quite a bit, I think you're the only one that I know. We get the I know you get the question more than we do, obviously. We're a couple of boring white guys here. But, like, it has come up, like, how do you expand into other communities? I am curious, like, how does the hobby do that? Like, how do we get more, like obviously, we always talk about, hey, we want more kids involved. I don't care what color the kids are. I just want more kids involved in the space. Like, agreed. How do we do that? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a good point. I mean, I think it helps when you have a lot of people in the forefront, right? You know, everybody wanted to be like Mike, but nobody wanted to be like Mike until he saw it televised, right? Until he saw it seen on a high level, right? And so I think for myself is trying to, you know, being kind of the face of the forefront or whatever, right, for the community. I feel like I have to kind of like overachieve. I have to kind of like keep pushing the boundary. So I remember I talked about it earlier is like be willing to like do things that other people aren't willing to do. And I think I'm kind of one of those guys. I think we need to be able to see people that look like ourselves in a high level to be able to say, oh, okay, well, if he did it, I can do it, right? That's that sure. Be like Mike theory, right? It's like, okay, I seen Jordan do it, man. I want to be like Jordan, man. I want to do what he just did. That's why everybody emulated those things, you know, growing up. And so I say that to the young collectors out there, and I challenge a lot of the younger collectors out there and say, like, if you see someone else do it, like, I literally started from buy, sell, trade cards, you know, on the low end side, right? I remember I was telling my wife, let's grade 150 cards a week, you know, and my average profit was $50 to $60 a card. And that was how I continued to kind of go from there. But I think it's important to see other people like ourselves, and then people often imitate that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious too. We recently heard, or someone had reached out to us and said there was a card show in the Northeast that was just not going to happen this year. They didn't give reasoning why, but they just said it wasn't going to happen. We found that the Beckett show, it got changed to a different kind of show, like some kind of grading extravaganza or something.
And the Mint,
but the summit didn't happen. I'm curious, what are you seeing as far as like reactions for the Culture Collision show? Because this comes out in January. What are you seeing in the hobby? Like, is there still a lot of interest? Have you seen it die down a little?
That's a good point. I don't think there's a lack of interest on sports card shows at all. I think that, now I will say this, I feel like there's certain shows, and I won't say any names, that do it too much, right? I feel like you can dilute your own community. I think that's one of the things that I really didn't want to do. I think that's what makes the National special, right? It happens once a year, but it's like, oh man, oh my God, I can't miss the National, right? There's some nostalgia there, right? But I think when you sit here and you have a great show, and I guess I'll say this, because at the end of the day, I don't really care. I'll just say Dallas, right? Great show.
It's too much.
I'll say this. Yep. I didn't want to say it, but I'll say it.
No, you're fine.
Dallas is a great show, but I think it is ran too much. I think if they did less is more. I think it'll be one of those things where it'll always continue to be a great show because people remember for what it was. And I think that they'll continue to have the hobby where people will come out and support. But I think that, you know, I think that as a promoter, you have to do your due diligence too, right? You got to allow, I think, by diluting the space, right? Because you have two people you have to focus on. It's your vendors and it's your sponsors if you have them. And I think that if you're a vendor-based show, I think it's important to do what's best for the vendors, right? As well as the consumers who are coming in buying a ticket. So I think we do our best to give a little bit of both. But, I mean, that's a great example of a show that I think that can be ran a little bit less and still get the demand, if not a bigger demand than, you know, if he did, you know, more.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, like, we just had the Nashville, Tennessee show. They do that twice a year. It's like 400 to 500 tables. It's crazy busy. I would argue for actual, like, reasonable transactions, people with, like, good pricing there to make deals, I think it's as good as any show in the country. But Dallas, we've never gone to Dallas either, but that's off. Like, that's the same thing we hear all the time. It's like, it's every couple months. It's the same guys trading cards back and forth. And that's why, honestly, I've never had any desire to go ever. And that's why I'm not even trying to knock those guys. But like Atlanta, I've gone to that show twice now. We're going to go in January. So I do think there's something to be said of like, hey, less is more. And then the other thing I want to talk about too is the events at your place. That's the first time I've seen like a basketball tournament. A couple of years ago when you do your first show, I think you guys did it last year too, like the game, you're doing it again this year. Like what's the same thing? Like, I just think it's something different. Like we don't just have to be there just dealing cards back and forth on a table. There can be other events, you know?
Yeah, I think it's important. So like I said, I mean, like if I make money at a show, it's a great show. But if I don't make money at a show, then what? Am I ready to leave? Or am I like, oh babe, I hate that I came, right? So I think that if you can create a whole atmosphere of all three, which is basically being able to buy, sell, trade, enjoy the experience, and then, you know, you have fun with your friends, right? I think it's a great, I think it makes a bigger, it makes up for a bigger opportunity. And I think that, so with our first show, actually, the show you went to was actually our second show. Our first show actually went up against one of the biggest shows in the country. It was actually Dallas. We went up our first show.
Oh,
we had a roughly, yeah, our first show. So we announced it. Man, we did that first show in 90 days. And I think that when I announced the show, it might have been like May, April or something like that. And then we did the show in like July. And at that point in time, we had roughly around 350 vendors. We had about almost 4,000 attendees, and we went up against the biggest show in the country, and we still marketed ourselves as one of the biggest shows. And that was my first show I ever did. It was actually Prism God Presents Culture Collision, because it was just really the only way to get people to kind of know that it wasn't going to be like a whack show. It was like, all right, well, let me just use my name a little bit and see if that helps to get people to come out. And I mean, it worked. So
now, was that July 2021 when that show came out?
I believe so. I want to say, yeah, because last year, 2022. Yeah, that's correct. It was 21.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I was just wondering, because I would think that would have been a huge show, or at least a really good turnout based on the time frame we were at in the market in July 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, it ended up being a really good show. We announced that our show, we had like 8 sponsors our first show. So it was a really, honestly, it was a really, I'm not going to say it. Well, I'll say it. It was an overachievement, in my opinion, because I think that, yeah, my goal was 600 tables. We ended up right under 400 tables. We still had over 4,000 attendees. People came out, supported, and everybody enjoyed and loved the show. We created some cool experiences. And, I mean, you talk about how does show space change for us. I mean, that was like phase one of the show. And then the second show that you went to was like phase two. And then I think next year, since we're doing 2 shows, you're gonna finally get a chance to see what phase 3 looks like for Culture Collision, as we continue to bring in new people.
Nice.
So by the way, we've talked about I know it's in January. What are the exact dates of the next show, just so people can start making plans now?
No, I appreciate it. It's January 26th to the 28th, and plan on making it the greatest show on earth.
What day is the basketball? I'm gonna tell you right now. I think there's a chance we might be able to play. I don't remember. Somebody reached out. Somebody works for the marketing. It sounds like we may get a chance to play. Is this factual? I'm a baller twice a week. I'm ready to go.
So let me explain, because a lot of people get this misconstrued. Oh, everybody always asks. All right, so hold on. I'm getting shut down here. So basically, everybody always says, all right, so how can I play in the Card Star game, which is our charity basketball game? And I believe the invitation that you had got, it was actually for the charity basketball game, which is the one that featured Santiago and Blaise, and an altercation that happened a couple months ago.
I saw this, and, yes.
Yeah, so the good thing about that is we ended up turning a negative into a positive, right? When it happened in real time, I actually thought it was fake, and I was thinking to myself, like, are they just
playing around
for the camera? No, it was real. It was real. I had to literally, the final video, I don't know if we're actually going to get a chance to put out the final video, but I actually jumped in and was like, hey, man, like, what's going on? Is everybody okay? And everybody was like, yeah, we're fine. I just don't mess with him like that. And it genuinely was a big, big problem between those two.
For the audience who doesn't know, what happened? I don't even remember myself.
So we met the kid, C. Blaise and Santiago Sports, who we know.
Yeah.
They were playing in the game last year, and they got into like an altercation on the court.
Oh, actually on the court. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
I thought it was fake too, because I've never seen two guys less prepared to fight in their life. I looked at this and I was like, this can't be real. Like, not in Atlanta. Like this.
That's no. Funny. Okay. All right. So then obviously we're hoping that doesn't happen.
I will say, like, Blaise actually surprised me. He actually can play basketball, surprisingly. I didn't actually think he could at first. I was like, all right, well, just see how this goes, but he did really well. But kind of backtracking a little bit on what you asked. So the charity basketball game is actually featured 12-on-12. It was influencers and sponsors the first time around. And then we also have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that everybody can kind of get into. Now, everybody always asks the question, how can I get into the charity game? Well, the answer is you have to win the 3-on-3 basketball tournament just to be a part of the pool for the following year.
Makes sense.
So okay. I can get it on the 3-on-3 though in January.
That's a guarantee, but you actually are a part of the pool. So what's going to happen is by the end of this month, we're actually going to do a fantasy draft style where you'll actually be chosen to be on either Santiago or Blaise.
Now, here's the deal. I don't know if you talked to Tim about my game at all. Tim will tell you, I am the Carmelo. I'm all about stats. I don't care about winning. We had our 3-on-3 game against Card Ladder. 9 out of 10 points. I was lighting them up. Did we lose the game? Yep, but I held my head high. Selfish. I am a black hole out there. It's brutal. No passing, no team ball, no defense.
I'm hearing a lot of votes for you.
I model my game after a late career Kobe. I'm going out there to get my 61 and get blown out, and I don't care.
Wow. That's a lot of words for someone who wants to actually be in this game.
I'm just telling you. It's how I roll.
Well, I was gonna say, well, Tim will probably be on your team then. He didn't win last year. But he didn't win either game. He was in the 3-on-3 basketball tournament and the championship the charity game, and he lost both. I think he's coming back for revenge, but I don't know. If you guys are on the same team, it might not work out, man. I think he's the same player.
Yeah, he's a black hole. It doesn't work. The two of us, no good.
That sounds like extraordinary game.
We will definitely be there for the show, for the game, and all that. Yeah, I wanted to have you on to promote. Because like I said, I don't know. It's the other thing, too. Almost all these other shows are like long-standing shows, and I do feel like, and even like with us, like we've been doing this podcast for years now, there comes time when it's like some guys just get real content with what they do, and it's like there's no effort to be better because, oh, it's going to be what it's going to be. Even the Nationals some years, I'm like, oh, this is stale. Like, why is there no – that's one thing we do always appreciate, like Atlanta. It was like these culture collisions, like, different. There's like new stuff, and I can tell it's like a younger – because like you got to be like 30 years younger than most show promoters. It's like this is a young, hungry guy who like wants to improve the product, and I think that comes across in the show. So, you know, we're excited about it. So yeah, so give me the dates one more time too, so we can pump that.
All right, so it's January 26th to the 28th, 2024. The charity basketball game is going to be on Saturday night at Overtime Elite.
Very good.
That's where I'll be dominating.
We'll
I'm
going to
break out my Larry Bird.
You have not been drafted,
my
sir.
Larry Bird short shorts.
It's going to be cool, though, man.
Doesn't matter. No, I'm from Boston. It doesn't get cold in Atlanta for me. Don't worry about that.
Rafael, thank you very much for joining, man. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to the Culture Collision show in January. And yeah, keep us posted if anything exciting, any new things you got set up.
Yeah, any announcements, whatever.
Yeah.
Happy to promote.
Well, I will say that by the end of the month, like I said, we're going to have the Fantasy Drive. It will be on a live platform. So everybody, we're going to have a mediator, commentator for the draft. It's going to be Santiago versus Blaise. And shout out to charities that they're actually going to represent. I'm kind of giving you a little bit of early news. So it's going to be Team Easton Foundation versus Mr. Strong Foundation. So Santiago represents Mr. Strong Foundation. Blaise is Team Easton. It's going to be a really cool event because we're going to raise money for the next, starting December until January, into Culture Collision. And actually, the people that will be able to come watch the game, they'll be able to contribute as well. So if you come in, there's no ticket admission, and you just pretty much just donate. So it's great.
Nice. Very cool.
I like that. Yeah, awesome. Well, keep us posted, too. Anything else you want to share, man, we're happy to spread the message here. So we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, that was Rafael Mosley.
January 25th, I'll be handling business. Oh, no, 20. Dang it, I forgot.
I already forgot the date.
Doesn't matter. Okay. That's Saturday night, though.
I think it was 26th.
I got to get drafted, though. That's the issue.
Oh, boy. And you've already really touted yourself as I think your words were black hole, so.
I can ball.
Okay. All right.
Well, I mean, one of us is going to be up tomorrow at 5:30 playing ball full court. That'll be me for 5:30 in the morning.
I have no claims to be doing that, and I'm very happy with my life choice. You wanted to talk non-QB vintage Jim Brown?
It's getting late. Yeah, what?
You didn't
want to
do anything? Oh, okay.
Somebody asked this last time, too. Like, do we think we'll see a resurgence of, like, vintage running backs and different stuff like that? It's a good point. Who's collecting that? That is really, it's a simple answer, but it is true. In 20, like my kid, at what point is Theo like, hey, you know what, Dad? I really want to get a Walter Payton card.
Mm-hmm.
And it is different because I had that thought with vintage years ago and I was wrong. Like at some point, people are not going to care about Mickey Mantle. But here's the difference, the nostalgia generation to generation.
Yep.
Like my dad has more nostalgic moments about baseball players and his dad did that as well, way more than they do about football. There isn't that with me. I have some nostalgic moments, but it's Tom Brady with football.
Okay.
So I don't think there's going to be that long-term connection. So whereas I think it's a safe market because there's enough guys like me and even a little bit younger who are like, yeah, Jim Brown, awesome. Walter Payton, even Barry Sanders to some guys younger than me. I don't think there's ever going to be like this unbelievable turn like we saw with 90s basketball where guys turned to 90s basketball and it was like, man, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq, all these guys getting way more attention in the hobby than they had ever gotten before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever see that with vintage football. So the more I thought about that question after last week, I was like, you know, I just don't think it's there. I don't think it's ever going to be a thing.
I think the future of that is really interesting because it does we haven't done it before, right? Like we haven't gone through a full cycle of like human existence since.
But we have with baseball. That's
has
the thing.
Been well, and but the thing is, we see Mantle still popular, even though the majority of people that watched him play, I would say a good amount of people that watched him play live during his heyday. I guess they're still alive.
So like mid-60s.
Yeah, but they're older, obviously. But we haven't seen that group because, I mean, obviously the Babe Ruth people are
Ruth's a good example. Babe Ruth people are all dead.
But that's what I mean, though. Like, so think
Babe Ruth. But he's still hugely popular.
And how many other people of his generation are popular, though?
Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, Christy Matthews. Like in the hobby, there's still a lot of guys. But that's because it's baseball. You name me one football player from back then that has any relevance in the hobby.
I agree that there aren't going to be many, but I do think you start seeing the longer that goes, the more fall off, like the more people that are going to be interested.
Why though? If you, like people, there's nobody here who saw Ruth anyways. Why is he still so relevant?
Because they have the market dictates that he's still relevant.
Oh, like, but I mean, it's the market dictating that, it will continue to dictate. You're talking so relevance.
That was my original point though, is like, if the market does continue to dictate, I think we see a narrowing of that class. I don't think you will see, like you said, Lou Gehrig and you said Ruth of that time period.
Those are the two. Yeah, I mean, the big Yankees.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you went back maybe 20 years, I bet you would find a lot more of that time period that you could probably point to.
Like, now, are there players from that time period that are relevant? Maybe, but I could even make that case with recent things. Like go back 40 years. How many players in the 70s come to mind out of baseball?
So that, but that's my point.
There's always just a handful.
I think you see a narrowing as time goes on. So I think you're going to obviously find more 40 years ago than you are in the Babe Ruth era. But I think you'll find even more in the last 20 years than you would in the 40, right? So it's like it continues to narrow as time goes on.
And only the elite stand up.
Exactly. I think that's where you get that GOAT status.
But I guess my point is too, with baseball, it makes sense because that's always been the pattern, the passing down. Mm-hmm. We have never had that really with football. Yeah. So when is it? So at some point, it's like we have to start with, okay, all of a sudden, Jim Brown's a thing. Why would that start in 10 years?
Yeah,
if it's not the reason now, like what? Even like Emmitt Smith. You know how many guys watch football like younger than us who have no clue? I mean, they might know who he is, but that means nothing.
Who is the Babe Ruth of football in Tom your Brady. Eyes?
No question. Brady.
What are you saying that because of how well he does? Because, I mean, Babe Ruth was good, but he wasn't like the best player in baseball.
Absolutely.
At the time, he was.
Absolutely.
But not today.
Well, some people would still argue he's the greatest. I mean, he was an unbelievable pitcher. He had 700 home runs. A lot of people would still make the case Babe Ruth's the greatest baseball player of all time.
I think that those people have not looked at any actual stats of the game. Like,
he has 700 home runs and he pitched.
I know, but if you go back, if there have been many arguments about this, so I know, like, you can argue one side and I can argue the other side. And
but the fact really that there's that many arguments, a lot of people consider him the GOAT.
The GOAT of that time period, though. Like, you look at the man, like, couldn't run or his RBI wouldn't be this or that. It's like there are going to be a number of different stats that you can't say for sure what it would be unless he was playing up against the bigs today.
You could say it with everybody because in every sport.
Overall, average pitch speed is higher than it was back then. The batting was, I don't know what the stance on batting RBI was back then, but I believe what I saw was that the average RBI is much higher today than it was back then. So it's like, okay, well, now you're seeing more people hit better, so he doesn't seem as... He may still be great, but is he the all-time greatest?
I mean, according to that logic, then you could never have an all-time great because you're comparing errors. Well, that's the argument.
I think
saying Michael Jordan wouldn't be as good today because people score more today, so he'd just be another scorer.
I see that logic. The problem that I'm getting to, though, is that what do you do when there isn't a all-time great that goes back 50 years or something like football? Because to your point,
Jim Brown is the other guy, though. Jim Brown might be the greatest football player of all time.
Would you say, though, like what year was that? 50s?
He came up in 56. 50, his rookie card's 50. I don't know what year. He came up a couple of years before that.
Football's been going on since, I think, I want to say 20s or something like that.
Before, sure.
So at least, obviously, a good amount of time earlier than that. Mm-hmm. Baseball was...
The 1860s.
What? Yeah, something late like that. When do you see that... The Babe Ruth of football or basketball? Like, when do you see that the one that's going to stand the test of time? Because Babe Ruth, I would think that he is the one that's going to stand the test of time.
Well, he already has. He hasn't played in 100 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jim Brown.
So that's what I'm saying. Who you think Jim Brown is that for football?
Well, he's one of. There's multiple.
Okay.
Just like there's multiple in baseball. Mantle has withstood the test of time.
But Mantle, again, is much more he's much newer. He played much more recently than Ruth ever did. So that's why I'm thinking of, like, when you go back
real far. There isn't one for those other sports. Jim Brown is the earliest guy. I mean, Johnny Unitas maybe. But they're both the same time period.
Okay. It's not like a right or wrong answer. I'm just curious what you think. Like, if there is a person that goes back, what about basketball? Do you have any thoughts there?
Bill Russell.
Bill Russell?
First all-time. I mean, Russell and Wilt are the first greats in basketball. Okay. You could argue, I mean, God, what's George Mikan. But, you know, most people go Russell and Wilt are the first big names that come up.
Okay. Yeah, I just think of it as a, you know, we've had so much time for these sports to evolve and change, but you still see the fact that Babe Ruth is still held in a very, like, to your point, maybe the greatest player of all time of the sport. But we've also seen basketball and football, maybe not as long, but still very long periods of history. And I don't know if we have, like, as big of figures in those sports as Babe Ruth is known to be in baseball.
You have as big of figures. You just don't have them as old. Baseball's an older sport.
I disagree. I think there's so many more people that would know Babe Ruth.
Michael Jordan's more
over Jim Brown or what did you say, Bill Russell?
More, yeah, but if you're going to say, well, who's the one guy? Well, then give me Michael Jordan, Tom Brady.
Again, but yeah, those are the current guys. That's why I'm just curious why they don't have anything.
In 200 years, Jordan will still be more popular than Babe Ruth has ever been.
Maybe. I would hope so. I would think, I love, as a personal fan of Jordan, yeah, sure. But yeah, I just think it's interesting to know that there is a solidified person in baseball history, not so much in football and basketball at this time. Because, I mean, again, go back to it. We've been playing for a very long time. Jordan's still alive. Like, who's the guys who have passed that would be in that category for football or basketball?
I guess I'm misunderstanding these parameters here. It seems like it's moving a lot. No, I definitely am misunderstanding. I don't know what that
means. I mean, it's just someone who's from the original heyday of the sport. Like, Bill from Russell. When it first came out.
I think Bill Russell, when he died, was probably as relevant on the planet as Babe Ruth, just about. Okay. Maybe slightly less popular, but just about as relevant. But again, the sport is nowhere near as popular as baseball has been. That's the difference.
I think that's great. I'm glad to hear you say that you have a thought on it, because I think I don't know. I just feel like there's not as many people going out there and giving as much love to some of the vintage, the real old stuff, like there is baseball, obviously.
No, that is my whole argument. That's why I don't think there's going to be a spike in Jim Brown. Jim Brown was as good as his sport as Babe Ruth was at his sport. Talent at their sport, Jim Brown's as good as anybody who's played any sport ever. He is that good. He plays football, though. Football, especially vintage football. Football in the 50s and 60s, nowhere near as popular as baseball was back then. It's never going to be. You're never going to see it.
If anyone was wondering, NBA started in 1949. So, I mean, granted, there was basketball before, but the NBA started then. The NFL?
What, 61?
The NFL started in 1920.
Well, there was the AFL too, though. The merger didn't happen until the 60s, I don't think. Because Unitas wasn't Namath and Unitas the first Super Bowl?
Let's see.
That's not true. The first Super Bowl was Green Bay.
Thorpe.
Yeah, you have to go first Super Bowl, because that's the modern NFL.
Okay.
It was Green Bay and the Chiefs, maybe?
That would be much more current, right?
The first 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. What I mean.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting, because the first baseball, the first MLB game, first MLB game was...
1800s, right?
1871,
yeah, according to this. That's what I mean. Yeah, you're talking... And it wasn't just that. It was also America's pastime. Like, everybody played. It was the thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, just way more popular.
All right, so you want to go to new releases?
Sure.
New releases, 2023 Panini Chronicles
Baseball. You know how enjoyable that last conversation? Neither one of us have any idea what the other person's saying. I like that. I think the audience might be able to decipher something, but I have no idea what you were asking, and you had no idea what I was saying. I like that.
I don't think it was more, I think you were thinking I was trying to allude to something, when it was just more of, like, I was trying to get your opinion on the history of the sport and if there's actually a long-term GOAT in those sports, like, that's not baseball and football or basketball. And the long-term GOAT was Bill Russell and whoever the other one was.
Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons. That was it.
Next.
2023 Panini Chronicles Baseball Hobby.
Take that sip. Yeah. You've been waiting to drink that freaking cup. Good for you. Chronicles Baseball is like a mishmash. There's a whole bunch of different, different brands all kind of put into one. Obviously, it's going to be different this year because it's just going to be retired guys and prospects, which, by the way, to my surprise, Panini has actually done a really good job of so far in 2023 with the prospects and the vets. No active players because of the MLB PA licensing being gone. It really depends to me on pricing. Like, if this thing's like 150 range or less, I'm cool with it.
It is 130.
Yeah, good with it. Love it. Personal, okay. You get a bunch of numbered stuff. Honestly, this is one of the only times you will ever hear me say this. Probably as close to an A as you'll get for a personal rip. And even as a break, it's an A because it's so dirt cheap. Is it a 16-box case, by the way?
I don't know.
Used to always be a 16. I think you get three. Used to always get three autos and one patch plus a bunch of numbered stuff.
16-box.
Who is on the images? That's the other thing. Because I know that
like on the on the front of the box, you mean?
Like on the sales sheet you're looking at where you're seeing the price and stuff.
There's like this cool Origins. The Origins are like with the animal tiger eyes and stuff behind it.
I mean like names though. Do you have like a...
That was Jackie Robinson on that one. There's a Willie Mays.
Not a prospect.
Do you want just prospects? Marcelo Mayer's also in this as a rookie. Let's see. Ellie Dela Cruz.
Ellie.
Let's see.
You got so Bobby Wood is one of the only guys who is an active player who has autos. Pulhos has autos. Ellie Dela Cruz has autos. Marcelo Mayer. Who's this joker? It's never good when I have to ask who it is because I should probably know. He ain't that popular.
Looks like Jackson Holiday also has autos.
That's
in this.
What I mean, dude. You got some big, big names. Did you just dump that drink?
Good thing it only has a tiny hole in it, but still.
Oh, boy. That's a real shame. I do. I like this product, man. I would break it. I would buy it personal. I rarely, rarely say that. But to me, this is one of those you can do both with. It's a pretty cool product.
Okay. Next product then is also Panini. Panini Origins football comes out this week.
I've always thought Origins too expensive. 2023 football scares the crap out of me because there's not a ton of big autos. I'm going to be way, way low here. Like I wouldn't pay more than $250 a box. I don't even think I'm close.
You're not going to get it for $250.
$375. What is it?
$390.
Yeah, I'm good. I'd break it. Buy the team you want.
Yeah.
Fine. I don't go near this as a personal.
Okay.
Certified. See, I actually like certified better than Origins because I think certified has more stuff in it. But same thing. What's certified boxes? $350.
Certified box is
2023 certified football.
Yeah, I'm $350 to pull it up. $330.
I mean, I like that better than Origins. I'd rather save $60 and break that. But again, that to me, those are both B grade for breaking. I'd give them both a B.
Okay.
Personals, F. I wouldn't go anywhere near it. The other big news, by the way, in Wax this week, which stinks for me, Topps Definitive. 2023 Topps Definitive is not being allocated to breakers or shops. It is going direct on the Topps website. Starts Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern. It is the Dutch auction, which I hate, by the way. So the Dutch auction, literally, they're going to start it at, do me a favor, look up 2022 Topps Definitive Baseball, please. I'm going to guess that stuff's still like $1,000 a box, maybe more. Like Definitive is super expensive. 6 autos, 2 patches. Obviously, again, I'm bitter because I'm not just going to get any of this stuff. I don't know what price this comes out at. I'm curious what they started at. You know, the only other Dutch auctions we've seen Fanatics and Topps do started really, really high and then came way, way down. I'm guessing this is going to start at like $9.99 or maybe more. What's 22?
$9.99 is... Wait, what am I... Because this is $2,600.
For a case or a box?
This says 2022 Topps Definitive Baseball Hobby Box.
Is $2,600 for a box?
$2,600.
Oh my God.
That's why I'm trying to figure out... Your number starting at $9.99 seems...
Maybe it could be way, way more. Yeah, I don't know how you go near this stuff. I love Definitive, but that's just too expensive.
Let me check another site too, because that was like on Steel City. I'm curious what others might have it. No, I mean like Blowout's got it for $2,500 a box.
Good grief. Dude, like what are you supposed to do? No,
$2,500 a box, it's got 8 cards in it.
Yeah, 6 autos, 2 patches.
Yeah.
I'm curious what the Dutch auction goes for.
That return on investment would also be an interesting segment. That would be great because
you could also do like you're paying. So say it goes for $2,000 a card. Let's just say it for clarity. That's $250 a card for 8 cards.
Yeah.
Insane.
I guess if the If the money's there, sure, but I think it's a gamble product.
The money is not there. It's just, this is like a flawless football type.
Well, just as a quick update, I did do the return on investment for Topps Chrome.
Save it. It's too late. I want to do this next show like open. Want to get into this. This is to me the most fascinating segment we're going to do next show.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I actually want to dig into it.
Well, then let's hit mailbag. Yep. Mailbag comes from...
Without hearing that.
Jeremy Byer. Well, actually, the first question comes from Jamie Sanders.
Today your birthday?
It is. I'm 37.
I know we don't celebrate. I'm just curious. Okay.
I'm 37 years old today. Interesting. So that's a fun fact for everyone who needed to know that.
Well, I don't like people it. Took. Never mind. I don't nope, like nope. that. I am being very kind. Let's go.
What were you going to say, Mike?
If anybody took the under.
Uh-huh. Well, so you were going to say a mean thing.
It's not mean. I'm saying congratulations to you for beating the odds.
Jamie Sanders, question for both of you. What's the first baseball card issue did you buy? Single, pack, or set? I don't know what he means by issue, but I think he says single, pack, or set.
The earliest I ever remember buying were packs. I'm sure I bought before that, but the earliest memory I have was the Elks Club, my Uncle Dave, going to a baseball game at Fenway, go to see the Red Sox. We bought packs of 1994 Flair, F-L-A-I-R, baseball. We were like, dude, we got to get Red Sox players' cards so we can get them autographed. First memory I have buying a card.
Man, I do not. I remember going to Kmart as a kid and buying football and basketball. I do not remember ever buying a baseball pack. This isn't even in
business
pack.
Anymore. Right? Is Kmart totally gone?
No, I feel like I've seen one recently. I don't think they're totally gone. They're definitely limited though.
Okay.
Jeremy Byers, why do people suck? I think it's a solid question.
He's alluding to the Facebook group because people are miserable on social media. It's how it is. In general, people are just miserable when they don't have to be personally accountable.
I think that's, a big part of it. He does want to know what percentage of people are unbearable in the hobby for you gentlemen.
Oh, for me? I mean, again, we deal with most people on social. Oh, 50, 60? 80? I don't know.
I did start thinking about it. I would say it's like maybe 20 to 30%, which is higher. Scary high.
Yeah. In person, very little. Most people are awesome in person. People on social who are like ripping you apart and making crap content, like tearing things up, they aren't going to card shows and hanging out with people.
But that's what, and those are the loudest voices are probably like the minority. I hope so. That's my dream. Danny Eaton, can we get a rundown of Sauce Gardner prices? He's being a cornerback. Would his injury affect his pricing very much?
Yeah, here's the deal with Sauce. He's a great player, but the injury, again, defensive players, they're like pitchers. When they're hot and cruising, it's great. As soon as something negative happens, they drop way off a cliff. We can look into actual pricing next week, but that's the problem with him. And as a defensive player, to build back takes forever. Like even this year, Micah Parsons stuff is down. Micah Parsons is awesome. He's just not having an LT-type season like he did last year.
Cody James, do you guys think with the increase in officially licensed products for college basketball and football, that prospecting will ever be a thing in those sports? Or will the cards, when they go pro, still be the only ones that hold value?
I think they'll always have some value. But yeah, I just think baseball is such a weird niche where we've been trained that prospecting is the way to go. It's the big auto. And I just don't think we're ever going to see that. Plus, when you prospect in baseball, you're still getting a pro uniform card to a degree as opposed to a college card. So, yeah, I just don't think we'll ever see it.
Greg Fairness? CJ Stroud.
Also, hang on. And one other thought, too. The other difference, too, is in baseball, once you get drafted, there's like multiple stages, single A, double A, triple A. It's like years of this kid. You could follow a whole career before the person ever plays in the majors. In basketball and football, it's like they get drafted, they play. So why I don't have to wait year. I can just go get the actual officially licensed stuff from my pro team. That's the other big difference.
Okay. Greg wants to know, CJ Stroud has been hot as of late.
Sheesh, we didn't even talk about this dude.
I have two big cards of him. Should I hold or sell now?
Honestly, I would sell right now. I think that team is going to be good. That kid might end up being great. He set all the passing records yesterday for a rookie. He's having a crazy start to his year. And in clutch moments too. That winning touchdown yesterday, which was a laser. I watched it happen live. Me and Ernest over at Bricks.
Oh,
6 seconds left. Like the kid, he just gets it. However, having said that, that team is not winning a playoff game this year. I don't think there's any chance. He is at an all-time high right now, coming off the hype of that game especially. I don't think there's anything wrong with selling him right now. And if you believe in him long-term, cool. Just buy him back in the offseason.
Joe Tall, non-QBs, do you think Justin Jefferson could be a good offseason buy if he is shut down for the year?
I mean, kind of. But again, like, Justin Jefferson has a strong market for a non-QB. I don't know whatever's going to push him over the top except for postseason success, and he plays in Minnesota. So I think it's a safe buy. I don't think there's a huge upside, sadly.
Okay. Let's see. Kyle Riley Hart. Ooh, this is a little critique here.
Three names, too. Don't worry.
Why is Mike so down on the Bengals' defense? Last week was a terrible take on Purdy's performance against the Bengals. The Bengals have had one of the best defenses in the league.
I don't even remember what my take was, but I mean, their defense is fine. I mean, I don't think it's anything all world. Let me look here.
I don't recall what you said exactly. I just remember when we were talking about the game 49.
Oh, I mean, my one take was Purdy looked bad, but your defense can be good and him still be bad. He made throws across the field he normally doesn't make. He made throws into traffic. Great that your defense was there to make the plays. I thought Purdy looked terrible himself. It's not to say that they didn't look, you know, the defense wasn't also good, but I just thought he was bad. Like yesterday, though, you're at home, you let up 18 points to the Bills. Granted, I didn't watch this game. Just looking at the stats real quick. Josh Allen had 250 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I mean, the fact you held him to 18 is a pretty effective defense. So, yeah, maybe the defense is better than I'm giving them credit for. The Purdy game, though, to me was... He made terrible decisions as a quarterback.
Marshall McKeever, do either of you have interesting stories or experiences in regards to getting an in-person autograph of an athlete or celebrity?
No, actually. I'd never do it.
I've gotten photos. I don't think I've gotten an actual autograph in person. Yeah, my...
Pete Carroll, I say, take it back after your story.
No. I was just going to say, I think my wife got me a Jennifer Lawrence and a... my mother-in-law got me, what's his name? Who's Star-Lord?
Chris Pratt,
yeah. So
well, not even your stories, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm trying to think. I've got these autos of recent celebrities, but other than, like, taking a picture with, like, Melissa McCarthy on his set of something, it was fun.
Well, in 1998, Fan Fest, whatever it was called. The All-Star Game was in Boston. They had the big fanfare before it the whole weekend. Me, my dad, Russ, and Russ all went to that. I was wearing my Warwick Dunn Tampa Bay Bucks jersey because I loved Warwick Dunn. We ran into Pete Carroll, who was the coach of the Patriots. And I was like, hey, coach, can I have an autograph? He was super cool, like, stopped. He's like, by the way, I was like, what? And he sounded like angry. He's like, had a hell of a time trying to tackle you last week or whenever they had played Warwick Dunn. I was like, oh. And then we just stood there awkwardly. He's like, okay, kid didn't get the joke. He walked away. But he was actually very, very kind. Took a minute. Clemens was a turd in person.
Ruining Carroll's day.
I did meet... Roger Clemens once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but nothing. Dude was a turd, man.
Oh, that stinks.
Yep.
Let's see. Kyle also wanted to know, with Lorcana's upcoming restock, do you feel prices will begin to reflect MSRP, or do you think the resupply won't do much to accurately reflect the TCG's real value? I got sad news.
Oh,
it
boy.
Is starting to come down. Like, it went from holding steady to, like, in the last... maybe 48 hours or something. Like, people on eBay are selling these boxes for, they were going for $350 to $400 in some cases. I've seen some now going for like $235, $260. Yeah, I don't know. This may just be a fluke. It may just be a handful of these sales and it rebounds. And it's also going to really depend on demand. But we'll find out in the next couple of days, especially over this holiday season, especially as guys start to get their product. My product's finally coming in, I was told, from the actual company that has it. So, yeah, we're all excited to hopefully break it and use it and then sell it for a decent
amount. Are you
actually
breaking or are you just flipping it?
I'm going to break at least one box wherever we end up falling on the breaking platform goes. But other than that, yeah. I'm gonna hold most of it and then sell a couple of them.
Do you have any update on the breaking platforms I need to know about? I've been staying out of your way on this, so.
No.
Any breaking news?
Any breaking news? No breaking news until hopefully later today. If not, I would say we just pull the trigger on one of these things, but.
Are we still planning on launching like December 1st? Is that the goal?
I would say so. I mean, at this point, like, I don't see why that can't be a thing that happens, so. Yeah, we will find out officially where we're going to be breaking, despite any rumors to the contrary. We have no idea at this point, but we've been solicited, and now we're talking.
Okay.
There cool. You go. That's the rest of your show. I think, did you talk to someone about joining the show on Thursday, or was that like in the next coming weeks?
Who?
I don't know. I thought I saw somebody in the Instagram thing.
Zach from PC joining two thirds. Oh, Troy from DA Cards.
That's right.
Yeah. He didn't get back. He had to check with DA first.
Oh, okay. So anyways, we'll have some guests, hopefully more to your liking coming soon.
There's some big items going to consignment with PC Sports Cards. So Zach is going to join.
Oh, nice.
For before and after.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. We'll see what they do.
All right. There you go. Hit them with the outro, bro.
Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. See you back on Thursday. Goodbye.
Bye.